your greatness over all the earth, your greatness in our lives. And Lord, what a wonderful way to start out this new week. What a wonderful way to start out this morning, just gathering together as the Ohana, the family. Lord, turning our hearts and our minds towards you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Lord, it is so good. And we are so thankful, so honored, and so blessed. And Lord, we do not take this privilege lightly. We are thankful that you have afforded us this glorious honor, this great privilege in being able to come together with one heart and one mind and one spirit, worshiping you, praising you, and now, Lord, learning of you. So Lord, open our hearts to your word. Teach us by your Spirit as we continue to worship you in Jesus' name. And all the saints say, amen. Amen. Please be seated. And amen. And amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 as we continue our study through the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12. You'll recall that we had divided the book of Hebrews into two very simple sections. The first section deals with the superiority of Christ. That's chapter 1 through chapter 10, verse 18. The second section deals with the superiority of faith. That begins in chapter 10, verse 19 through chapter 13. The first section deals with doctrine. The second section deals with duty. The first section deals with principles. The second section is very practical. We had said that first section lays down some important foundational truths about Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is over everything and Jesus Christ is better than everything. And as a result of those foundational truths about Jesus Christ, it should affect our lives. It should bring a change about in our lives. In so much that it will be reflected in what we do, where we go, and the things we say. That's why, beginning in chapter 10, the author says to let us draw near. He then says to let us hold fast. Then he tells us to let us consider one another. And then in chapter 11, the thought is to let us have faith. So beginning in chapter 10, verse 19, it's all about application. And last time we were together, in fact, the last four times we were together in chapter 11, it was to let us have faith. And we saw the importance of faith. We saw that whole section was predicated really off the 10th chapter, verse 38, that the just shall live by faith. Now, as we begin chapter 12, the inference is that we should have hope. The writer is encouraging us to have hope. He said, let us have faith. Now let us have hope. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what situation or what circumstance we're in, we have hope. And we have hope regarding the endurance we need regarding the circumstance we're in. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope in the fact that He will enable us to endure all the trials, all the tribulation that we're going through. And we're going to tie this together for you as this chapter 12 really springboards off of chapter 11 dealing with faith. So let's pick up our study in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Now, I do need to tell you that originally I was going to have us read down to verse 17 today, which was very ambitious. I began to outline our study this week, and as I was outlining the first 17 verses, I thought, well, this is quite a bit. So I backed it down to verse 11. And as I begin to outline verses 1 through 11, I found that was still quite a bit. So today we'll only read down to verse 4. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, all the way down to verse 4. Therefore, we also, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. What a powerful portion of Scripture. What an incredibly impactful four verses. As the writer here talks about, elaborates on the race that we are in. You see, because you and I have faith in Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope regarding the endurance we need. Really, this section in verses 1 through 4, the next section in verses 5 through 11, and then the third section in verses 12 through 17 all deal with endurance. In verse 1, the writer talks about enduring the race. In verse 2, enduring the cross. In verse 3, enduring hostilities. Down in verse 7, we'll get to that next week, Lord willing, enduring chastisement. Hey, let's face it. If there is one thing we need in our lives as believers, it's endurance. Listen, the world has fallen apart. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. Everything is upside down. The world says that right is wrong and wrong is right. And you and I, as we live our Christian lives, need to endure through all of these things that seemingly affect us on a daily basis. Whether we're struggling financially, emotionally, in our relationship, physically, spiritually, you name it. What we need to do is endure through all of these things. Interesting word, endurance, or endure, by the way. It's the word hupomeno. It's only used 18 times in the New Testament. It's a compound word. Hupo meaning under, and meno meaning to remain or to abide. It speaks of remaining under the trial or tribulation or the weight that is upon us in whatever situation we're dealing with. No doubt it's a beautiful picture of the previous section, dealing with the Old Testament saints. Go back to chapter 11, look at verse 35. In the middle of the verse, chapter 11, in the middle of verse 35, it says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance." They were hupomeno, they remained under the torture, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking, scourgings, chains, imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain by the sword, they wandered in sheepskins. Listen, these guys were in a world of hurt, and yet they held up, they stayed under the trials and tribulation that came upon them. That's what the word endurance means. They didn't waver, they didn't turn aside. They continued on faithfully as they endured the things that came against them. And here, in this section and in the next two sections, the writer encourages us to do the same. He encourages us to endure the race we're in. That's verses 1 through 4. Endure the race we're in. Next time we're together, Lord willing, we're going to look at the next two sections in verses 5 through 11. We're to endure the chastisement we receive. And then in verses 12 through 17, we're to endure by the grace we have. So these next three sections really fit beautifully together. So today, we're only going to look at one thing, and that is the encouragement to endure the race we're in, verses 1 through 4. Now, this whole idea of a race is very familiar to us in Scripture. Obviously, according to the end of verse 1, the writer says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, a lot of scholars believe that Paul, of course, wrote the book of Hebrews. This is one more little proof text, if you will, that points it to Paul, because he oftentimes uses this metaphor of our Christian life as a race. You recall when he was bidding farewell to the Ephesian elders there in Miletus in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my own life dear, that I may finish the race." Paul said, all of these trials, all of these tribulations, everything that these Old Testament saints are going through back in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verses 35 through 38, the fact that they're stoned and martyred and sawn in two and killed by the edge of this hay, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear. I will finish the race. He won't be moved out from underneath the trial, the weight, the burden that is upon him. We read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, that those who are in a race all run. And he's speaking to believers in Corinth. Those who are in the race all run. We as believers are in the race. Therefore, we're all running. And he's not talking about the rat race, by the way. He's talking about the race we live in our Christian lives regarding all the things we go through, all the hardship, all the trial, all the tribulation. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said he fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. You say, okay, Clark, I get the picture. We're in a race. Now, since we are in a race, the question is, what are we racing for? Well, the answer is simple. The same thing any racer races for, the prize. The prize at the end of the race. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, "I press toward the goal of the prize, the upward call in Christ Jesus." So you and I are clearly in a race, and we're pressing toward the prize, the finish line, if you will. And that brings us to these next four verses. And the writer mentions four things about the race that we're in. Note them carefully. He mentions four things about the race that you and I are in as believers. Number one, the first thing he talks about are the witnesses regarding the race. The witnesses regarding the race. Take a look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12 again. It says, "Therefore, we also, just like the Old Testament saints back in chapter 11, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, this little phrase, cloud of witnesses, obviously refers back to the previous section. And that is recognized by the word therefore. As a result of these Old Testament saints back in chapter 11, who continued in faith, they didn't waver from their faith in God, even though they suffered great persecution, great trial and tribulation. They lived by faith. They died by faith. So clearly, he's talking about them. Now, this is an interesting picture that's painted for us in a sense, because the word witnesses that are used here can carry the idea of spectators, like they are witnessing something, they're viewing something, and that, of course, would fit very nicely with this whole idea of a race. I mean, we, in our mind's eye, of course, can picture a large stadium full of spectators, full of witnesses, and the athletes down on the track preparing to run the race, and all of these witnesses, all of these spectators looking down on the runners, cheering them on, saying, "Come on, fight the fight, run the race, you know." And while that makes sense picturesquely, I don't think that's what he's talking about at all. Because you see, the word witness that's used there in verse 1 is the Greek word martus. We almost can say it right into English. Martyr. These guys are a great cloud of martyrs. In other words, they lived by faith, They died by faith, speaking of those back in chapter 11. It's tied all together. And they ran the race. They finished the course, even though some of them lost their lives in doing it. And thus they are a testimony, a witness, if you will, to God's faithfulness. Hear me carefully. They are a witness to God's faithfulness toward them in the race that they have to run, and thus they are an example for us. Why was chapter 11 given to us? To show us the faith of the Old Testament saints, that no matter what they went through, no matter what they gone through, that they were faithful. Because according to the end of verse 39, back in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Clearly, these witnesses are those who are testifying, are witnesses of God's faithfulness to their lives in running the race, and they set forth a glorious example for you and for me. Wow. You see, we're all in this race. And we can look to these Old Testament saints, this great cloud of witnesses, as a testimony to God's faithfulness in enabling them to finish the race. And friends, family, so too it will be with us. If God was faithful then, He's going to be faithful now. We just sang a beautiful song. Pastor Dan shared about the faithfulness of God and how He is faithful. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, that He is faithful even when we are faithless. Okay, I realize it's early, and you probably haven't had nearly enough coffee this morning, but that should thrill us all to no end in understanding that God's faithfulness is not dependent upon us. And here we see this great cloud of witnesses testifying, witnessing, if you will, to the faithfulness of God, enabling them to run the race. And I say hallelujah to that. What a great example we have. Number two, the second thing the writer encourages us regarding this race we're in, he not only talks about the witnesses regarding our race, but secondly, he talks about the things that hinder our race. The things that hinder our race. And let's face it, when you are running a race, there can be many, many things that hinder us, that get in our way, that trip us up, that cause us to fall in this race that we call Christianity. The writer of the Hebrews gives us two things that hinder our race. Number one, weight. Take a look at verse 1 again. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, this seems very obvious to all of us. If you were going to run a race, certainly you would want to eliminate any excess weight. I mean, could you imagine how silly it would be to enter into a race wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt, or army boots, or some kind of ankle, weights? Are you kidding me? You want to shed as much weight as possible. You want to lose anything that would encumber you or cause you to be restricted, or anything that would weigh you down. Now, the word weight that's used here in verse 1, it's an interesting word. It's only used here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and nowhere else in the entire New Testament. It carries the idea of something that is prominent. It can be literally translated prominent. In other words, whatever is prominent, whatever is the very first and foremost thing in our lives could be that which is weighing us down, if you will, that is causing us not to run the race effectively. And of course, we understand that from a worldly standpoint. We realize that things of the world can weigh us down, the treasures and riches and striving for fame or fortune or relationships or lust. Hey, there's a lot of things that can be prominent in our lives, that we can put first in our lives. And I think the point here is these weights, These things that are prominent or foremost in our life are the things we're focusing on. And if there is something more prominent in our life other than Jesus Christ, there is a problem, there is a danger of it weighing us down. What happens? Well, we get our focus onto this thing, onto this circumstance, onto whatever that is prominent in our life, and off of Jesus Christ. And our focus is now on this thing, and it begins to weigh us down. It becomes heavy to us. Because this is what we're striving for. This is what we're racing toward, rather than to Jesus Christ and Him alone. We need to understand that the things of the world are not necessarily wrong or bad. Relationships are not wrong or bad. But when we put anything above our relationship with Jesus Christ, it can weigh us down. And I think in the context, what the author is talking about regarding this weight that is keeping us and hindering us from running the race effectively is a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The whole previous section dealt with faith. I think it still continues this whole idea of faith. In other words, when we put anything above Jesus Christ in our lives, in a sense, what we're doing is lacking faith in Jesus Christ to work it out and to work it through. Because now all of a sudden we're focusing on who we are, what we have, or where we want to be, rather than Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful in running this race. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. We said there were two things that hinder our race. Number one was weight. That seems very obvious. But number two is sin. Take a look at verse 1 again. It says, and, in the middle of the verse, the sin which so easily ensnares us. So what hinders us in this race we're in? Well, no doubt weight. Anything that is prominent. Anything that is out in front of us, causing us to lack faith in God. But second, it's sin. Sin can be very destructive, obviously. I mean, this just goes without saying. And sin could ensnare us, trip us up. According to verse 1, the word ensnare literally means to capture. In other words, sin will take us, grab us, and trip us up. Now, for you football guys, you understand that. If you want to tackle somebody, you grab them around the feet. You lock up the legs. You ensnare them. You trip them. And they're not going to go anywhere. And that's exactly what sin does to us. Now, notice carefully it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, the word the definite article, is not there in the original text. It's not talking about the sin. It's talking about sin in general. It's talking about any kind of sin. Now, why is that so bad? Well, because sin separates us from God. Read Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Isaiah said that the arm of the Lord is not short, that He cannot reach down and touch, nor is His ear heavy, that He cannot hear. But it is our sin that separates us from God. So clearly, there is a breaking of the relationship between us and God when we sin. Now, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we give our life to Christ, He forgives us of all of our sin. And now, according to Romans chapter 6, you and I have been freed from the bondage of sin. We're no longer under the yoke or the prison of sin. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, don't let sin rule or reign in your mortal bodies. You and I have the ability, via the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit in and on our lives, to resist sin, not to sin. You say, but Clark, I still sin. Well, of course, we all still sin. It doesn't mean we're perfect. Please don't misunderstand me. We're still going to fall short of the glory of God, but we're no longer going to be under the bondage or the power of living a life continually, repetitively, premeditatively in sin. And that blesses me to no end. Because now I have an option. I have a choice to lay aside all these weights, all these things that burden me down, all these things that I am really looking at in lack of faith toward God, and setting aside the sin in my life. Oh, it doesn't mean we're perfect. But setting it aside. Why? So it won't trip me up. So it won't ensnare me. So I can run the race with endurance. This is huge. We need to turn toward Christ and have faith in Him. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of our circumstances and our situations. And when we do that, now we begin to run the race without any hindrances. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Well, let's come to the third thing we want to look at. We've looked at the witnesses regarding our race, the things that hinder our race. Number three, the course of our race. Now, this is very simple, but yet very profound when you think about it. The course of our race. Look at the end of verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "And let us run with endurance the race," and here it is, "that is set before us." I can't tell you that ministered to my heart. The race that we are to endure involves the course that is set before us. In other words, the race that we're in is determined by God. We don't determine the race. He determines the race. In fact, He predetermined the race. It says at the end of verse 1 that that race is set before us. God has determined the racetrack that we're on, and that becomes very significant. Because oftentimes in our own lives, we think, well, you know, I should be in the long distance, cross country, not the 100 meter. I mean, that's not my race. You follow me? Are you kidding me? God's got us in the right race. He knows where we're supposed to be. You say, no, this can't be my race. It's too heavy. It's too hard. It's too harsh. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He won't give us more than we can bear. And in effect, what we're saying is, God, I don't have faith in You. We're back to faith again. Thinking that somehow God's messed up, that He's got us in the wrong race. I mean, God, this race is too much for me. I can't handle it. I can't bear it. In effect, what we're saying is, God, You've messed up. Are you kidding me? He knows how much we can handle. He knows what race we're supposed to be in. And when we begin, listen family, when we begin to understand this very simple yet incredibly impactful portion of Scripture, now we can run the race with endurance. We can endure the race we're in because we realize it's the right race. Because it's the race that God has set before us. And I love that. Love it dearly. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Real quickly. Let's come to the fourth and final thing we want to look at. We've looked at the witnesses regarding our race, the things that hinder our race, the course of our race, and number four and finally, the example for our race. The example for our race. I thought you said these great clouds of witnesses were our example from Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, they are. And they're a very good example, by the way. But there's a better example. It's Jesus Christ Himself. Look at verse 2. It says, "Looking unto Jesus." Drop down to verse 3. "For consider Him." Consider Jesus. Look, what better example could we have in this race that we're running than Jesus Christ Himself? And how important it is that we look to Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because there's an interesting picture that's being painted here of the finish line. Why are we to look to Jesus? Why are we to consider Jesus as the example regarding the race we're in? Because it's a picture of the finish line. Are you sure? I think so. Take a look at the end of verse 2. Speaking of Jesus Christ, He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, His race is over. He is sitting down. It is finished, John 19:30, Jesus declares. You see, we're to look to Him, run towards Him, and keep our eyes on Him. In other words, don't get distracted in this race. Look, when you are running a race, you're not looking all around. You're not looking to the left or to the right. You're focused on the finish line. You're looking to the end of the race. Because if you take your eyes off of the path, off of the race, off of the finish line, it's easy to trip and fall. It's easy to stumble. That's why we're to look to Jesus Christ. You remember what happened to Peter on the Sea of Galilee. He got his eyes off of Jesus Christ and began to sink, the Bible says. And the point is very simple. As good as an example as these great clouds of witnesses are back in chapter 13, Jesus is a better example for us. Now, what makes Jesus a better example? What's involved in Him being a better example? May I give you four things? Four things that are outlined in our text. Number one, faith. Faith. Take a look at verse 2 again. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Three, the Bible says, God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. We all have faith. The question is, where are we putting our faith? Are we putting our faith in ourselves and our ability to endure the race that we're in? Or are we putting our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the originator and perfecter of our faith? You see, He's the originator and the perfecter of our faith. He started our faith, and He's going to finish our faith. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, He will enable us by His power, by His great grace, by the work of His Spirit in and through our life, to endure the race we're in. Hey, let's face it. Sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel. Halfway around the track, we want to cash it in and say, forget it, I'm not finishing this race. It's too hard. It's too hot, tough. It's too heavy. We forget that that race was set before us by God, and that He has given us the faith, and He will continue to perfect our faith to finish the race that we're in. Number two, not only involves faith, it involves joy. Look at verse 2 again. It says, who, speaking of Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Question, what was the joy that was set before Jesus Christ? What was the joy that was set before Him according to verse 2? Well, I've heard a lot of Bible scholars and a lot of teachers and a lot of commentaries as to what this might mean. But I think in the context, it's dealing with the forgiveness of sin. I think it's dealing with the conquering of death. How do you know? Because He endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't think anything about the shame of the cross. It meant nothing to Him, the shame of hanging on a cross. It was a shameful thing. He despised it. He flipped His nose at it, if you will, in our modern vernacular. It didn't bother Him. He thought nothing of the shame of the cross. And He endured all of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the crucifixion. Why? So that He could say, your sins are forgiven. What a joy that must have been for Jesus Christ. What was the joy set before Him? No doubt conquering death on the cross. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And being able to say to you and being able to say to me, your sins are forgiven. What a joy. What a blessing that was for Messiah. Number three, it also involves reward. At the end of verse 2, it says, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is seated on the right hand of the throne. As we've already mentioned, His race is over. He's done. He's finished the course. He's sat down. He's a glorious example to us because of the reward He has. What was His reward? The throne. The throne. Man, you can picture it here, a runner running the race, and he's now up on the highest pedestal receiving his reward because he came in first. But you see, that reward, that throne, was not only for Jesus Christ, but it's for you and for me. You see, when we put our faith in Christ and His ability to make us endure the race we're in. When we finish the race, when we finish the course, we too shall receive a throne. Are you sure? Oh, yes. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down on the throne of my Father." Friends, there's a throne waiting for you and a throne waiting for me. As we endure the race we're in, as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the originator, the perfecter of our faith, as we put Him as that which is prominent in our life, as we set aside every sin that so easily ensnares us, by the grace of God, we finish the race, we receive the reward. And number four and finally, it involves endurance. What makes Jesus a better example? Faith, joy, reward, and endurance. At the beginning of verse 3, we read, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself." Why do we look to Jesus Christ? Why do we consider Jesus Christ regarding this race that we're in as a perfect example for you and me as it pertains to all the hostility he endured from sinners? Quite simply, to encourage us. It all happened to encourage us. Take a look at the end of verse 3. "Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin." Look, you don't have it so bad. When you're striving against sin, you haven't resisted that to bloodshed like Jesus Christ has. He was beaten. He was crucified as he resisted sin. As he went to the cross on our behalf, he endured it. He despised its shame. You and I haven't come close to understanding that. So why are we to look to Jesus Christ regarding all the hostility that he endured from sinners? So that we won't grow weary. So that we won't become discouraged, because we've nowhere come near the suffering and hostility that Christ has experienced. And that should encourage us a great deal. You know, I'm always encouraged when I pray or talk with somebody who's going through some pretty heavy stuff. Because I look at my life and think, praise God. Lord, thank you. My problems seem pretty small. Look, if you want to be encouraged, reach out and minister to somebody who's really going through it. You'll see that your problems are pretty small in comparison. You think, well, I'm really not doing too bad compared to you. You follow me? And Jesus Christ set this wonderful example for each and every one of us. Friends, we're in a race. But the race that we're running, we don't run in our own power, in our own strength. We run it by faith. That's really the context. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Faith started at the end of chapter 10, all of chapter 11, and the first section of chapter 12. It's having faith in Him and His ability to enable us to endure the race we're in. Father, how thankful we are. Lord, for these few short moments that you've given us together. Lord, to turn our hearts toward you, to worship you through your word. Lord, it is just a glorious thing to realize that this race that we are in, that you set it before us. And Lord, so we know we're in the right race. And we thank you that we can look to you, that we can consider you as the perfect example and one who finished the race. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us, strengthen us, enable us, Lord, to set aside all the weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Help us to set aside anything that is prominent, more prominent in our lives than you, realizing that it's all about you, that you are at the finish line with a throne waiting for us, making all of this race, all of this life that we're in worthwhile. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together? If you need prayer today, be sure to come forward. The pastors will be here to pray for you, to minister to you. Just to love you right where you're at. Now I pray that God would bless you and keep you. Continue to make His face to shine upon you. As you endure the race you are in. But not in your own strength, not in your own effort, but by faith in Jesus Christ, who is the originator and perfecter of your faith, that you may continue to press toward the prize, that upward call of Christ Jesus. Man, running to the finish line, seeing Jesus seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You guys have a great week in the Lord.